Laughing Monk, by the way. We got in another little trip to Laughing Monk over the weekend.
You did?
Nailed it again. We went steak this time.
Okay.
And the peach salad.
You went to the Monk?
And an old fashioned.
Look at you.
And it was strong. It was a very, very strong performance, again, by Laughing Monk in Sunnyvale.
Man.
Really, really good.
I got some Laughing Monk FOMO, fear of missing out, because you went without me?
Well, we were going to a show in San Jose.
Gotcha.
And so Laughing Monk was in the neighborhood, and so we decided to do it again and order something else, and all of that was good, too.
So you chose your life partner over your radio partner?
I did.
And I'm not mad at that.
I did.
And I love
did.
Your life partner.
And then we went, she's wonderful.
She's
and then,
awesome.
And then so was the show. We went and saw, are you familiar with a comedian named Pete Holmes?
No, but yeah. You talked about it on Friday. And
yeah,
so,
Pete Holmes.
Okay.
San Jose Improv on Saturday night.
Funny guy?
He was a very funny guy. Yes. And then the guy that came before him was, you know, funny-ish.
Right.
An opener.
We sure.
You know.
Yeah.
He's like Shohei Ohtani. Well, an opener.
Or like Zach like Littell, whatever. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Just like just throw a couple fastballs.
Sure.
Get out of the
just,
way.
Just do your one inning and get off
right,
the stage.
Right. All right. We're going to go to the phones. If you're just joining us, this is what Mike Dunleavy said that kind of has us talking. He met the media. The draft is 48 hours away. And this is essentially what he said about Jonathan Kuminga's restricted free agency.
Yeah, so we can start with the finals ending last night. We can start pursuing that right now, leading up into free agency. And I think we're in a good spot with it, honestly. We have the ability to bring him back. He's restricted. You know, there'll be good dialogue. And I'd like to figure something out sooner than later. That'd be great. But I also acknowledge with restricted free agency, these things can drag out a little bit and take some time. But you know, I think we feel pretty comfortable with who JK is a player is as a player and what he can do for our organization. And, you know, we'll continue. You know, it's a main priority going into free agency.
I mean, there's so much there. He wants to get it done quickly, but acknowledges it could drag on. He says it's the main priority going into free agency. And then there's actually the second time I heard that, there's a sentence where I almost went, ooh, what does he mean by that? And maybe nothing, probably nothing, but he says, I think we're comfortable. We know exactly who JK is and what he can do for our organization. Do you? Do you?
Yes.
And if
yes.
you do, if you know who JK is, I'd argue that's not a good thing for JK. I would argue that everybody who loves JK is actually basing that on who he may become, not who he is. Like who he is right now. You decided not even to play.
Well, that's not him. I mean, that was the coach who decided not to play him.
And you know, these decisions are not made by themselves.
Right. And I do think that they know who he is. And right now, who he is does not jibe with who they are. Now, in 3 years, when Steph is gone and Jimmy's gone and Draymond's gone, sure, if that's the way that goes, who he is, who he will be then, that becomes a more important piece, I think, for the then, because the then, after Steph and Jimmy and Draymond are gone, you're likely going to be a team that's going to be rebuilding no matter what.
That's fair, but at the same time, see, that's why I think he may be gone this offseason.
Mm.
Because what you keep saying and what I keep hearing from people is the real value of Jonathan, the real importance of Jonathan, comes 3 years from now. And I just don't think that that's where the Warriors' heads are. I don't think they go into this offseason thinking we're going to use all of our open space on someone who will help us when Steph retires. It's literally the antithesis of everything that they're saying they want to do. It's the opposite to say let's use all of the open space we've got this offseason to spend it on someone who won't help us right now. But boy, we'd love to have him in 2028. I just can't see them doing that. It's not who they are fundamentally.
I agree, but the other piece of it is then what are you going to do about it, tough guy?
Yeah, well, that's the question.
Right. So what you're going to do about it is either sign and trade and you take 50 cents on the dollar, or you sign and wait and trade, and then you get 100% on the dollar in February when you trade him at the deadline, or you sign and continue to hope that he can be the player that he has been at times. And, you know, Steve Kerr said to us, you know, we will spend the whole off season and training camp figuring out how to make it work. And I take him at his word, even though he's a Dodger fan at Oracle Park yesterday, which loved to see him out at the Giants game, which Absolutely. Was kind of fun. But I do think that, you know, they would try to make it work and integrate him and all that. Yes. And I think that you could do that up to a certain point. I don't know if he actually in the next 2 years could integrate and work. But for me, if I'm the Warriors, I'm looking at a way to sign and trade, not until February, though, when you can actually get something.
I mean, I hear you. At the same time, I'm like, who knows what the world's going to look like in February? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's kind of the scary part for me there is if you start planning now for February, I have no idea where we sit in the standings. I have no idea what Jonathan's stats are. I have no idea if Jonathan's healthy. I have no idea about anything. I don't know if that's what I'm going to want to do in February. Who wants to commit right now to something in February? Like, wow, I got no idea what the hell we're doing in February.
Right.
And I think there's power in that. Like, if you've decided that Jonathan Kuminga does not represent maximizing Steph Curry's remaining career, if that's what you've decided, then I would argue you do it now. Do it right now. Because 1,000 things could happen between now and then that lower his value, change your situation. Like, wow. And then you're handing power out to someone else. But right now, he's healthy. He's coming off these playoff games, which were intriguing to people. Again, if that's what the Warriors have decided, then I think there's a whole lot of strength in doing it now.
There's also strength in doing it then where his value could go up.
It could go up.
Right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, you could play him and he can fit and he can, you know, be a force and all the rest of it. Well, and
you probably wouldn't want to deal him at all.
Well, depends.
You know what I mean?
I mean, it depends on what you could get for him then. And again, if you sign him to a deal worth, let's just say $23 million a year, right now you only get $11.5 million back in exchange in yep. the offseason, or you sign him to $23 million for, you know, 3 years and whatever, that would be 72. And, you know, you get to the deadline and it's like, yeah, he's playing great and he isn't really the perfect player for you. And you could trade him then and get something more at that point.
Let's go to Rich in Fremont. Hi, Rich. Thank you for calling. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, man.
You know, it's funny because I've been listening to the talk around the Golden State Warriors in the offseason, what they can and can't do or what they should do. And I honestly believe they really should resign Kuminga because you got to think about the talk that was going on about this kid, about development and how, you know, he wasn't being played. He was being played. You know, when he was on the floor, he was producing. When they sat him out and they tried to throw him in there on an emergency situation, that didn't work. You know, the kid has been there now 4 seasons. He's going into his 5th. You know, they've already invested time with this kid. I just don't think it's a good move for them to move off of him. I think they should re-sign him. And I tell you something else. I think the other thing, if I'm Mike Dunleavy, I would do, I would definitely go after Brooke Lopez. I mean, come on. He's a big, which is what they've been talking about getting and what they need. He's 7 foot. He can shoot the 3. You know, he can grab your rebounds, and he can protect the rim. And you're going to get him for the veteran minimum. To me, it's a no-brainer. You bring him in, you re-sign Kuminga, and you have the support of the other guys as well, Butler and Draymond. So that's the way I would approach the offseason. What do you guys think?
Well, Rich, I before you go, I'd love to ask you a question. If they did that, if they came back next year and their 2 moves were to re-sign Jonathan Kuminga and bring in Brooke Lopez, does that represent a great offseason to you?
To me, I'm sorry, repeat the question once more, only whole part of it.
if what they do is exactly what you suggest, they re-sign Kuminga and their big addition is Brooke Lopez, does that feel like a good offseason to you that positions the Warriors well?
I believe it does because you have to consider what they have already. It's not just those 2 moves. It's the fact that they have a competitive team right now.
Yep.
The fact that they were able to get to the second round means they're competitive. When you add, you know, Brooke Lopez and you already have Butler and you re-signed Kuminga, in my opinion, it gives you a very large missing piece. Why? Because you didn't have a big who could help you defend and can shoot the three and can grab rebounds, and now you do, and it didn't cost you much to get him. So to me, yeah, that is the right move to make.
Yeah, Rich, thanks. Appreciate it. I also, the premise was that Brook Lopez would take the veteran minimum. I don't know that.
Yeah.
I don't know that. Brook Lopez is coming off of a year where he just made $23 million.
He's not taking the vet min.
I don't know if he's taking the vet min.
Right. And what did the big Kiwi just sign for? Steven Adams. He signed for 3 and 39, I think, something like that.
Yeah.
So I don't think that Brook Lopez is taking the vet min. So, I mean, if you're looking for a big to, you know, take a contract like that, you're probably not going to get Brook Lopez.
Yes. 3 years, $39 million for Steven Adams.
Right.
Those of you who went into the weekend, yes, good job.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, a lot of people wanted the Warriors to explore Steven Adams. I don't know if y'all heard off the table.
Right. And if you are looking at, you know, the Warriors and making some signings, it is more sensible to me that they sign their own guys. They have bird rights on GP2 and yep. Kevon Looney. And you may not love them as upgrades because they're not upgrades. They're literally the same people that they've had. But for me, it's more likely that that happens as opposed to, oh, Brook Lopez, no, vet min.
I hear you. And even though I was right out in the front of, dude, the Warriors after Jimmy Butler were one of the best teams in the NBA. I can also say, if you just bring the band back, that doesn't feel good right now in terms of the Warriors' chances of winning next year. Doesn't feel good.
Right.
That's all. 888-957-9570. Ramona Shelburne, ESPN, we think, is going to join us next. Later on after Ramona, there's some weird Brandon Ayuk stuff going on that we need to explore.
Okay.
There's some weird social media stuff going on with Brandon.
Well, it's the summer, so that makes sense.
Everybody's
right?
Bored. Yeah, here we go. Yep. From the ballpark to wine country, summer's better when your car is ready to roll. Valvoline Instant Oil Change gets you in and out in about 15 minutes. No appointment needed. For locations and coupons, visit BayAreaOilChange.com. 888-957-9570. This is Willard and Dibbs.
Now, back to
Willard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
Ugh.
What's wrong? Something
you ate? Nothing's wrong.
Okay.
Brandon Ayuk is just odd. He's odd.
Like, what do you mean? Like, last summer,
yeah.
I get it. He was looking for a contract, and so a lot of the things he did was, it was odd,
yeah.
But it made sense.
Well, it made sense in terms of, like, I get why you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that what he did was okay, and he came out and even said that. Said he handled it poorly, and he did. The Niners weren't great with it either, but they were, like, those were business decisions. Brandon acted like a child. Brandon was all over social media, I thought, being just completely immature and lacking patience. And all of the things. Now, you can give him the win if you want. Like, he got his money.
Yep.
He also totally fell in the eyes of many 49er fans. More importantly, I think he totally fell in the eyes of the 49ers, who signed this deal and almost immediately counted to three and regretted it. And then he got hurt. And now we've got yet another social media appearance. By the way, Ramona Shelburne just landed, and she's going to join us in, I don't know, 5-10 minutes, however long it takes to get off a plane, and I think she's in the back row.
Yep.
Okay? So you got to wait for all the overhead, all of that.
Well, at least she's not in the middle and some, you know, jack hole is going to charge up from the 27th row to, like, barge up to row 14 because I have to get off before all the rest of you.
It's true.
It's
true.
Anyway. And
sounds like you speak from experience.
Of all the times that I wish that I could just have a taser and just, don't tase me, bro.
Oh, man.
That person needs to get tased, but go ahead.
All right. So 2 weeks ago, part of this, like, I'm going to admit, we're going to read some of this and you're going to be like, huh? Or you're going to be like, oh, it doesn't mean what you think it means. To me, collect it all together and it's just not good. Like, if I'm Brandon Ayuk right now, here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, yo, I got paid a whole lot of money, and then unfortunately, I suffered an awful injury. I'm fully focused on getting back, but at the same time, like, my team did me right. Even though it may have been annoying to get there, my team did me right, and now I need to go do some good things for them and for the fans. That's where I would be thinking. But Brandon tweeted, I need my chicken before I even think about walking through. Walking through where? I don't know. Does he mean the door? Didn't he already get his chicken? He got a signing bonus.
A lot of chicken.
Not that big of a deal. Not a tweet. He's posting on YouTube.
On YouTube.
Which is apparently something you can do.
Yes.
An actual post of words.
Just
not a video.
Yeah.
Right. Actual words?
Words. Words on YouTube.
Okay.
If you had something to write, wouldn't you go to YouTube?
Right.
Anyway, the next comment under that was, they want to play cool now. Nah, bleep, no, I want that smoke still. My big question on that one, who's they?
Right.
Fans? The Niners? Just people? I don't know. The brand spanking new post on YouTube 8 hours ago.
Okay.
This morning.
Fresh Ayuk.
They was talking about trading me while I was off Percocets and muscle relaxers and peeing in a cup by my bed. Couldn't walk for 10 weeks. Ain't nobody trading for me. I mean, I could fall back to, that's probably true.
Right. And 10 weeks?
Yeah.
That seems like a long time. I've had multiple surgeries, and I've had the same surgeries that he's had. Thank you. And 10 weeks? Like, that seems a little bit dramatic. But go ahead. I'm not trying to split hairs here.
I mean, the only commentary that we have from the Niners came from John Lynch earlier this month in June. Quote, Brandon's doing a tremendous job coming back. These guys are incredibly skilled athletes. They tend to heal a lot faster. It's kind of incredible how well he's healing, and he's putting in the work. We're proud of Brandon, and we're looking forward to him being a part of this team moving forward. That's John Lynch's quote on Brandon Ayuk.
Right.
So, like, I don't think this is a moment to overreact. I really don't. But I the only way that I can say this right now, and I would bet this Brandon would not care, I don't understand Brandon. I don't understand. I don't understand in this moment what you're mad at. Like, you got the money and you got hurt.
Right.
Like, you're not on the wrong side of the deal right now. The 49ers are on the wrong side of the deal. The 49ers are the one paying millions of dollars for no gain. The 49ers are the one who are going to be putting another $30 million player on the PUP list to start the year. That's the Niners. You, on the other hand, I get that you're frustrated that you're hurt. I get that it sucks that people say things about you while you're powerless to go out there and change the narrative. But that's professional sports. That's celebrity. That's life. You want a big contract. You want to play football. That's the deal. I just don't understand. I don't understand what he's mad at. I don't like it. 3 weeks before training camp opens, I don't like you on YouTube talking about trade rumors. Like, this whole team is sitting here talking about how we got immaculate vibes.
Vibes, yeah.
And we're 6-11 and we need to fix this. And you're over here on YouTube being like, remember Percocets? And they tried, like, dude, it feels to me like somebody who said he learned a lesson that didn't learn a lesson. That's what it feels like to me.
I mean, you're allowed to express yourself in any possible way that you want. And, you know, here we are in June, and right now, if you are the 49ers as an organization, right now you're looking for, I would imagine, your players, your staff, and all the rest of it to take a playoff, to use an old expression from Lorenzo Neal, take a playoff. You know, it's okay to, like, take the month. And, you know, the news we got about a week ago were promotions and, you know, staff hirings. And shout out Corey Rush, who's somebody we've all gotten to know, and he got elevated to executive vice president of communications, which I saw that email. I was like, oh, cool. Good for you, Corey. End of 49ers discussion. It's June. You're all gone. You're on vacation. And like you said, in 3 weeks, come on back and we're going to ramp it up with camp. And then we could talk about the preseason games and we could talk about joint practices and we can look at the schedule and all the rest of it. But right now, for this to be a thing for Brandon Ayuk to, you know, do this, and I don't even know what this is.
Like, he's
putting out words on YouTube, which I didn't even know that you could do that.
I don't know why. Right. That's what I mean.
And
I don't
understand the message.
I don't even get it. I don't understand Brandon Ayuk. I don't understand waking up today and being like, you know what we need to do? We need to go to YouTube so that I can write something about those trade rumors that happened last year. I don't understand. And again, is it a problem? Is it something that the 49er offices are like calling a meeting about? Probably not. I just don't get it. I don't understand Brandon Ayuk. I haven't for a year. Why shorts? Why the wrong shorts?
Right.
Why? People need to start asking Brandon Ayuk why. Why are you doing all of this? Why is this the right move? And it bothers me. It's kind of like, you know, we're in this age now where it's like, I get the word and I love it. The word for athletes for a decade now in the age of LeBron James has been empowerment. And I love that. Yeah, you don't have to go on a radio show, Draymond. You can just do your own. Just buy a microphone, turn your laptop on, and do your own show. Control your message. That's what so many athletes want to do. Great. Great. You're right. You're right. People would absolutely love to hear directly from you. So do that. But at the same time, I think we've got to look at all this and start asking, like, why? Why now? Why this message? Why are you still even talking about this? The 49ers are desperately at this hour trying to turn the page off of last year. And we have one player who's still talking about last year. In a negative light, it seems. And so this is a thing. Whether it sounds like really bad words or not or whatever, this is something that teams very much worry about. Like, I'll give you another example. Did y'all hear over the weekend the stories with Shedeur Sanders?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Do you know that he got caught driving 101? And in the process of them finding out that he was driving 101, we found out that 3 weeks ago, he got caught going 91 and then skipped the arraignment. This is somebody out of the fifth round,
yep,
who's trying to win the job as face of franchise.
Right.
And I know some people who think he got cut from the team yesterday. Like, he didn't, but that's what you're going to do before camp even begins?
Right, right.
What you do out in public as a representative of these companies matters. And if you can't even play, dude, I got to wonder if Brandon's wearing him out, because I already know that he was. He already wore him out last year.
For sure. And, you know, for his part of it, and I get this, where, you know, he tears up his knee, he has surgery, and, you know, you're coming up to that April 1st deadline where his bonus kicks in, and so the Niners probably, reportedly, were trying to trade him. That way they could get out from underneath the $23 million bonus that they would have to pay him if he was on the team, the roster bonus in April. So I get that, but that honestly is just a part of the NFL. It's a part of the business. And, you know, Ayuk knows that, I'm sure, by now, because he's in the league. And so you go about your business however you want to. And if you want to go out and, like, have this passive aggressive YouTube words that you put out there about the team, and it's now like 2.5 months after the trade was reportedly, you know, maybe going to happen. They were shopping him and they were trying to get a team, mainly Pittsburgh, who wanted him before. And so this is just, it's pro sports. It's the way it goes. And yeah, so if you want to, like, comport yourself this way, you're allowed to. I don't hold it against him, but it definitely makes it so as a team, you're probably like a little frustrated that your player is continuing to go about it in this way.
Well, and I also like, let's talk about the fan perspective. I hate feeling like this about any player who plays for any of my favorite teams. And here's what I mean by that. Look, if the guy gets healthy and he gets happy and he balls out, I get what every fan's going to do. We're all going to forget about all of this, and that's fine, and move on. But what about the opposite? What if he does come back and I would say likely, in fact, he'll struggle a little bit. Like, he's been through a major injury, and prior to the injury last year, he came off of those contract talks, and he struggled. He did not look great. And so I'm not going to use the phrase that I'm rooting against Brandon. Here's how I will say it. I'm having a hard time rooting for Brandon. Right?
Yeah.
Like, and I don't like I want, I think we've talked a lot about this. I want, when Brock Purdy rolls back, when he releases the ball, I don't care which Niner catches it. Normally, it's kind of like when we went back to the Trey Lance and Jimmy and Brock thing. I don't care who wins the job. Whoever's going to do good, you'll win the job.
Right.
You go play good football. I'm actively sitting here right now hoping that Ricky Pearsall steps forward as the first-round draft pick that he is, hoping that Juwan Jennings has some sort of an encore for what he did last year. Because not only do I think that those guys are healthy and capable right now, I enjoy rooting for them
yep.
more than I do Brandon Ayuk.
Right.
Like, he's just, I don't know, dude, I don't get it. I don't understand what you wake up and think is the right thing to do with your day on your computer.
And I just wonder, like, what hurts? Like, what hurts about the things that have gone on for Brandon Ayuk? Because it's clear that he feels some type of way about maybe the fact that they tried to trade him, and they tried to trade him before, and then last offseason they didn't sign him, and then they eventually did. And so I just wonder about Brandon and, like, what hurts? Like, what upsets you about the things that have gone on? Because you wanted to get paid, and you got paid, and you got more money than probably the Niners wanted to pay you, or more money than, you know, what other receivers have gotten. So you got your chicken, and then you went out and you got hurt, and then the season went on, and the team didn't do well, and you were out for the year, and you're out for a while now, maybe until week 4 or 5, who knows? But between then and now, yeah, the team maybe tried to trade you, but that's part of the business,
life.
Right?
Yeah, that's life.
That's pro football.
Yeah,
so
you're right.
I don't.
Right.
I just don't know. I wonder what about all this really affects him like this. Like, what hurt you? Who hurt you, Brandon? Is it John Lynch? Is it Kyle? Is it the organization? What is it that has you so upset? That, to me, is the part that I just don't. Like, I don't understand.
Well, like, let's compare it to something else that just popped into mind while you were sitting there talking. Like, what do we see normally when somebody signs a very big contract and then underperforms? Willie Adames has dealt with this all year.
Yep.
So what's the number one word we keep hearing? Oh, Willie he's pressing.
Yep.
Why is Willie pressing? Well, because Willie was given $180 million, whatever the hell it was. And I think he feels some type of way about that. In other words, he feels an obligation. He feels like he needs to live up to that. He wants to provide that level of service for the Giants and their fans because they have done him right. So he would like to then respond by doing them right. Somehow, and I understand that it was very uncomfortable in getting to the end, but they did arrive at the end. And somehow, this contract for Brandon Ayuk and the fact that it has not paid dividends yet, I get that it was because of an injury, but so far, Brandon has not given the 49ers and their fans ROI. And instead of feeling an obligation to that, it feels to me like Brandon feels everybody out there is awful for being upset about this deal, even though it looks like a totally awful deal. I don't understand. Where is that feeling of I need to go out there and produce because they did me right.
Yeah.
They broke me off a massive
broke
number.
Broke me off, exactly.
And a massive number. And my first thought when I wake up is to start going to YouTube and put chicken emojis. I just don't understand.
No, I'm not mad either. And I would love for him to go out this year and, you know, play whatever it'll be, 12 games or 13 games if he can, and still get to 1,000 yards and, you know, 8 touchdowns, and the Niners go on to the playoffs and Brandon Ayuk gets back to being wide receiver 1. That's what we all want. And I think he wants that too, but I just get the sense that there's something about this relationship, him and the team, or I don't know if it's the fact that, you know, maybe they shopped him to trade him, or, you know, why he like wore the wrong shorts to practice. And it just seems like there's something about this relationship that is a little bit disconnected. And even like, you know, the other relationships, like even Trent Williams and, you know, George Kittle and, you know, Fred Warner and all the rest of it, it seems like they might have their discrepancies about contract or whatever, but when it comes time to be like, okay, you're signed, you're a Niner, there's not this. And so I just wonder what it is about Brandon that has him to be like so upset with the situation.
Like if he's mad because of the injury, I'm sure that's like, dude.
Brutal.
How frustrating, right?
Yep.
Like all of us shed at least some sort of a mental tear, if that's even a thing, for Halliburton last night.
Yep.
All of us. Like when that happens, when you're like, right, you're on the doorstep of something awesome and then everything just turns and goes the other way, and what you get instead of a Super Bowl ring, you get 14 months of rehab and no limelight.
Dre Greenlaw is a great example.
Dre Greenlaw is a wonderful example. On a year where he was going into a year where he needed to prove himself for free agency. And so I get it. When life just suddenly turns around and heads the other direction in an instant, it can be wildly frustrating. But that's nobody's fault. Nobody did that to him. And so, again, all we know about a person is what he puts out there. It's great that John Lynch and others with the Niners have said, Brandon's around. Brandon's been positive. Brandon's doing the work. That's all great. But then again, social media in 2025 is speaking for you. And so this is the message he's putting out. And the message it feels like he's putting out is that he's just constantly pissed.
Which, I mean.
Okay.
Right. I mean.
All right.
I mean, be mad, but be mad on the field and be mad like. The way you play football, I don't get like being mad in the summer. Like, what's to be mad about? It's business. They tried to trade you or they thought about trading you. Yeah, they've done that with probably every single player on the roster. It's pro sports. And I don't know. You have a contract that you wanted and you got paid and now you should be good. Not that money's everything, but I don't know.
You know who he's starting to remind me of? I never thought about this until just now. Something you said there just jogged this in my brain. You know who Brandon is starting to remind me of?
Who?
Gilbert Arenas.
Oh, wow.
He's starting to remind me of Gilbert Arenas, which is like he's very, very talented. But you got some wacko stuff going on in there, too. And remember, and here's what I mean by that. Gilbert, once upon a time, is a second-round draft pick of the Golden State Warriors. And then really overplayed his draft position. And became a very, very good player in the NBA. And at one point, he was asked, sort of like, are you carrying a grudge based on what happened in the draft? And he said, absolutely. I am holding it against every team that passed on me as I go out and play. And then he said, including the one I play for. Because they passed on me too.
Right.
They picked me in the second round when they could have picked me in the first. And that was the moment where I went, oh, God, you're just mad. You're just mad. And he did. And he carried that with him. And then you bounce around to different teams. And sure, he was a good player. He had a nice career. But I don't know if that's someone you want to build around. Brandon Ayuk can, if you want to carry with you for the rest of your life that you don't like the way last summer transpired, great. I bet the Niners agree with you. They don't like the way last summer transpired. But if they're going to pay you $30 million a year, you better get not mad at them pretty soon. I don't want to see Brandon Ayuk play four more years for the Niners while mad at them the whole time, trying to show them something. Dude, they paid you. That's it.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah, if he's mad or not mad, it doesn't matter to me. If you go out there and you play and you perform and you are the receiver that they spent first-round draft capital on, then fine. You can put on YouTube or Instagram or whatever other vehicle you want. As long as it doesn't affect your team and the way that they play or the way that you play, that's fine. But right now, it's a second summer in a row of like head-scratching Brandon Ayuk content. And last year, I get it. Like, you want a contract, and that's part of the dance, and you scrub this, and you do that, and you say, oh, they say they don't want me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you drive to the facility, whatever you do, you got your contract, fine. Well, now you're under the contract, and you got your chicken. So what's wrong now? I don't get that.
I don't know. I do not know. But I do know that at long last, Ramona Shelburne is ready to join.
Let's go, Momo. Okay?
Ramona Shelburne of ESPN, who is probably our favorite NBA insider, so tapped in, and she has worked her butt off in order to join this radio show today, and she will do that coming up next. We are brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Oh, by the way, this is going to be a River Island segment, is what this is going to be.
Yeah?
Yeah. One segment, two guests. Ramona, two guests.
Inside
this segment.
Whoa.
Ramona Shelburne next, and then George Kontos after that. And then more of our show. And then we'll go home. That's the plan here on Willard and Dibbs.
Now, back to
Willard and Dibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
All right, this is going to be a whole lot of fun. This is going to be, like, this is when it really gets loose for multiple reasons.
Okay.
First of all, we are uninterrupted from now for almost a full hour on this radio show.
Okay.
We are going to have multiple major voices come on the show.
Other than you and I?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Way bigger voices.
No chance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like Ramona Shelburne and then former Giant and current analyst George Kontos will be after that.
Okay.
But it's not just that Ramona, for example, is coming on the River Islands guest line. It is that Ramona has had no sleep and is completely been put through the ringer by multiple airports in the United States of America today. So I don't know what we're going to get.
I love this.
I don't know.
I love Ramona in general, but I like a sleep-deprived, where the heck am I, Ramona, even more.
I've never heard you cuss on the radio, but I'm thinking it's possible right now. Are you going to do it?
I mean, I cussed on the radio with you once. You remember when I talked about staying up late, and if you want to shoot the...
Oh, that's right.
Your girl.
That's right. I had forgotten. Well, yeah. If you ever want to do it again, today's the day.
Today's the day.
You know what I'm about to do right now? I'm about to take my shoes off in public. I'm sitting in the Denver I'm sitting in the Denver airport, and I just walked like a mile to like get to some gate where I could almost like get, I was trying to go standby on this flight that was going back to Burbank. And it was not even going to be an option, but we got in a little early from Oklahoma City thinking, oh, the airline gods have cut me a break. And I just humped it all the way over here. And like, I'm watching as I'm talking to you, that plane pull away from the gate without me because they closed the gate on me like 5 minutes before I got here. It's very sad.
I mean,
I'm waiting here for another 3 hours to take off. So instead of getting home at 7 today, I'm getting home at 10.
You know,
crack off those shoes and peel off the socks. Let the dogs out.
No, I think I'll keep the socks on. That feels like the only decent thing to do.
Oh, put your feet up. Get yourself
My feet.
Yeah,
my feet are on. I'm going to take a picture. You can see it.
Yeah, send me a picture. Get yourself a Cinnabon and relax.
No doubt,
it's going to be fine. But I get it. We've all been there. And literally, you were up all night writing? And
yes.
Were you writing about the Thunder and their championship or Tyrese Halliburton and his Achilles?
I was writing about the Thunder and their championship. All right. I write this sort of like, you know, every year it's kind of this thing I do of like, you know, what, whoever wins the title, like collect for a big, long 3,000 word story. Feels like 300,000 words. But it's sort of like, you know, the Oklahoma City Thunder, this is your life, right? Like, and this is kind of how the championship was won. And so I've been collecting for it for a while, but then last night was such a bummer with Tyrese getting hurt that like it took a minute for everyone to kind of digest that and feel like it was like, I mean, honestly, even the fans there were like sad. Like the whole first half, I feel like nobody knew what to do. Like, are we allowed to cheer? Or can we be happy? Like it was very somber in that arena last night. And then yeah, halftime came and everybody kind of reset, and the Pacers, like you could just see like their soul was sucked out of them. Like it was really sad, but good for the Thunder. They had a great year and a great series. It's going to be one of those what if games now for most of sports history, especially if you're a Pacers fan. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Heartbreaking. I mean, first time back in 25 years and so close, and you felt like, you know, up until the injury that they had a real chance to do it. But just your more broad takeaway from the series, because OKC 68 wins, best point differential in NBA history. Were you sensing that this would be one of the bigger collapses if they didn't get it done?
You know what? I wouldn't have called it a collapse. Like I think Indiana was really good. Like, I mean, you know, there was like a poll we put up on their social media where it was like, you know, everybody was like, who do you got? Right. And like 70% of the people picked the Pacers after that game six. And the more I watched the series, the more I was like, yeah, I mean, they have two really legitimate scoring threats in Tyrese and Pascal Siakam. And then I think their bench players were just better and more seasoned than the Thunder, you know, and I mean, little TJ McConnell out there. Oh my God, that guy was great. And you just kind of felt like, you know, they just kind of felt like this team of destiny. And then Halliburton came out with his hair on fire. He hit like three threes. He was amazing. And he was, I felt like it was going to be their night, you know, like Oklahoma City was like really tight. Felt like the last couple games, the pressure had really started to affect them and all that, you know, the youth and really the Pacers defense and the way that the Pacers were just playing with like how they were playing with house money for several rounds. Like nobody expected them to beat Cleveland and then the Knicks. And then, I mean, they were, you know, and at some point you start to believe in them, but they really didn't have any pressure on them. And they played like it.
Hey, Ramona, off the top of the show, and it is a bummer because Oklahoma City wins a championship. And I think outside of that area, most people are talking about Halliburton the next day. But we got into a conversation about all of these Achilles injuries and the fact that players, right, you're bigger, stronger, faster, you're taking better care of yourself, but there are more injuries. And for me, these are overuse injuries, and I've arrived at a point where I'm kind of bothered that they'll do load management during the year, but they won't take time off in the offseason. Yeah. And so what do we do about this? All the way down to AAU level, what do we do about players who keep playing for 12 months and now we have this come June?
You know, I don't know if it's load management. I think there's something, you know, I kind of want to get into this too because this is terrible. Like this is terrible for basketball. It's terrible for the game. I mean, Jason Tatum's out all of next year. And Dame is out all of next year. Tyrese is out all of, I mean, that's brutal. That's not just like, I mean, you and I were in LA when Kobe was out for a whole year. I mean, that was terrible.
Brutal.
Terrible.
Yeah.
You know, like this is terrible for the game of basketball. Like if I'm in the Eastern Conference, I'm like, who am I picking? Whoever doesn't have a torn Achilles. I mean, I think like something, my friend, he runs this company, the Hyper Ice. It's like the official recovery tools of the NBA, and they have this new boot coming out. It's like this Nike, so I don't know, it looks like a, it's kind of like to like a boot that looks like a Cybertruck would look to a truck, right? It looks really funky and everything. But he says that like they've been studying those kind of injuries, and there's totally different ways that people need to be like warming up and strengthening their feet and their calves and their ankles and everything. And hopefully that's going to help. If you look it up, I could find, just look it up, Hyper Ice boot. It's something with Nike too. And I think all the guys are going to be using it next year. It's like a new product that's coming out. But I think, you know, that this is part of a larger thing where I just think there's too many games. Like we've all been talking about it, right? It's not, there's a reason why they load manage is because there's too many games. I mean, I know they need the home days for the revenue, and I know everything's always been on the 82 game schedule, but JJ Redick had this, we were asking him about what does that mean? Like why, you know, back in, you know, his day or back in, you know, you and I both host with Michael Thompson in LA, we would always tell stories about how they, you know, how many games they'd play, and they'd play commercial and they'd play back to back to three in a row and all that stuff. And I was like, so how can they do it and not have all these horrible injuries and not have to sit out games? Whereas these guys who fly private have the top of the line trainers, have the best everything in terms of performance. How can they not do it? Right. And I think the answer is really just, I think the answer is that the game is so different. It's so much more active now. Like guys are running so much. They're putting so much torque and pressure on their body with sprinting all over the court. You know, I mean, just look at Steph Curry. Look how he plays. He's running the entire game. He's cutting, he's running. He's just, you know, and that's so different than the old traditional half court offense. You know, it used to be, you know, the bigs would run down, they'd post up. Maybe there'd be a guy or two running around the perimeter. There'd be a guy who'd drive in there. But there's no such thing as this motion offense that we all see now. And I think that is contributing a lot to the wear and tear on these athletes that's leading to these kind of injuries.
That's a good point. And just the nature of any game, it's everything is explosive, right? Offense and defense, everything is a hard plant and it's a cut and it's just, you know, active and everything is so much more explosive. And I can't help but think about what we've had, Ramona, over the course of the last 7 years, seven different champs in 7 years, but here we have an OKC team that's young and they're going to come out and try to defend next year. Do you think that they have a chance to be the next, and I don't want to say dynasty because you have to do it more than just once, but how much is this OKC team going to be a viable threat, not only next year, but for years to come?
Well, if you want to call them a threat, I will say yes. If you want to say, are they going to win multiple titles? I'm going to say, I don't know yet because I'm the girl who's like, you can find clips of me being like, the Denver Nuggets are positioned to win for years to come, right? Like, I mean, there's always like, you know, everybody who wins, like we all feel like the Boston Celtics are positioned to win for years to come. And then, you know, life happens, right? And I think the way the modern NBA is, it is such a grueling regular season. It's hard to get to the end healthy. It's hard to take everything so seriously. That's why, like, you know, our heyday of covering the Cavs and the Warriors, that's just, I don't think we're going to see that again, where you have these two rivals that emerge and play each other 4 years in a row. That was really incredible that they pulled that off, that those two teams did that, right? And I think as we look at this going forward, Tyrese, you know, had them in a position where I would have said the Pacers were, I would like the Pacers next year. I mean, they were really good. This wasn't just a fluky run. They were a really good, deep team. And I think it's sort of instructive on how teams are going to have to be built now going forward. Like, this era of two and three stars who are making max money, I don't know if that can work anymore with the new salary cap rules. Like, you've got to have young guys. You've got to have people on cost-controlled contracts. You got to develop your own players. Most of the, you know, the Pacers are sort of this island of misfit toys, right? Like, they had all these guys that other teams gave up on, but they were still really talented guys. Like, Aaron Nesmith, he's a first-round pick. And, you know, I mean, Mathurin, he was a lottery pick. I mean, they had Siakam, that's a guy who was traded, you know, from the Raptors. Halliburton traded. How often do you see a team that makes the finals where, like, all these players on the team were traded? I mean, that almost never happens. And you saw that with the two leading stars in these finals. And so I think, you know, now when I look at those, you know, those Warriors, the hallmark of those Warriors was that they grew their young stars. They all grew together. There was consistency. They had a vision and they executed that. And then they just sort of recast the supporting characters every year or every few years. It's going to be hard to do that now. Like, even look at poor Indiana. Miles Turner's due for a big raise. Nesmith's due for a big raise. Mathurin's due for a big raise. Like, I don't know if they can keep that team together. Like, they're just going to have to keep finding these new guys. And it's, you know, that's going to be the modern NBA. So teams like the Warriors, I think, are actually decently positioned because Draymond's on a decent deal. You know, Jimmy Butler and Steph are the two top heavy guys, but they do have their picks. They do have young guys. They do have developmental players that they're bringing along. And so I think they're probably better off than an older team like the Lakers or maybe the Dallas Mavericks or some of those other teams that we've seen have success lately.
Talking with Ramona Shelburne of ESPN, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.